We have two shorter readings today. The first one from Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9 through to verse 15. Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For as there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then our second little reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, which should be familiar to you from last week. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thankfully, I don't need to speak for the next few minutes, so Chris is going to come up and speak to us now. Shall we just pray for him? Lord, we do thank you for Chris. We thank you for the gifts that you have given him to read through your word and really bring it alive to us each and every Sunday morning. And we pray for him now as he brings to us what you've given him throughout this last week about the passages we've just read. And we really pray, Lord, that our hearts will be opened to your words. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Saved by grace, through faith, for good works. That's what we began looking at last week. Based on this passage from Ephesians 2, 8, 3 to 10, where Paul brings together those three aspects of salvation. Grace of God, bring through to us, connecting with us through our faith, and then having an impact out in our lives in good works. So, salvation isn't static. It's not a one-time transaction, something that happened long ago in your past. It's not a theological concept that once you've got it straight, you can file it away and move on. It's an ongoing movement of grace reaching down, faith reaching back, and a life then reorientated around God's divine purpose for us. So in this series, we've been tracing that direction, that dynamic of faith, of salvation. Grace being where it begins, God's unearned favour reaching down towards us. And if you didn't watch last week, then catch up on last week. It will make much more sense this week if you're able to do that. But God's unearned favour reaching towards us, his grace. Then faith, how we receive that grace, trusting in the one who rescues, and good works that flow from that, a life shaped by God's purpose and intention for us. So that we're not just saved from something, but for something, towards what God wants us to do. So last week, we stood in awe of grace. We worshipped God together, because before we ever reached out towards God, whilst we were still Christ's enemies, he died for us. Amazing love that he has for us, that he would reach out to us when we were still his enemies. And we began to open our hearts to that wonder of being saved by grace. This week, I want to focus on saved through faith. And it's in that little passage that we had read again. There it is. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. But notice this. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So grace is God's initiative. Faith is our response. But let's be clear. Faith is not our contribution to salvation, as if God does his half with grace and we do our half with faith. Because even faith is gifted by God. I'm going to try and illustrate how that might work through this morning's service. A few weeks ago, when we were going through the book of Hebrews, looking at the themes in the book of Hebrews, I did a bit of a deep dive. We dug deep into what does faith mean, and we really thought deeply about that. So I'm not going to do all of that again, but I'm going to recap some of those things as we apply it to this passage. Let me remind you of this simple mnemonic. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. They're very simple, aren't they? God's riches at Christ's expense, forsaking all, I trust him. But it shows the two halves of the way that these things work out, how the mechanics of salvation comes together. So firstly, grace is offered and it's activated by faith. So last week we thought about that metaphor of being rescued from the sea. Do you remember that? Some of you that were here will remember the lifeguard swimming out. We don't swim halfway to meet them. We just rely on them to rescue us. But rescue only becomes salvation when we stop resisting and allow ourselves to be pulled to safety. So faith isn't about performance, it's not about certainty, it's about surrender. It's saying, I can't save myself, so I trust you to do what I can't. And we talked about how grace rescues us when we stop flailing and allow ourselves to be held. Do you see how faith is not, in that sense, an active thing? It is letting go and allowing God to rescue us. For the sake of Mark, I used an illustration of a car. It maybe works for others of us as well, but we'll use this illustration again. So the engine is grace. I think faith is probably the transmission, technically. But the switch that turns it on and off, in the old-fashioned sort of car, is the clutch. Okay, so the transmission's given by God. So it's just how grace connects with our lives that we have the control over. We choose whether we allow grace to impact on us through the clutch of faith. And then the good works are the wheels that move us forwards. If we refuse to engage the clutch, the engine's power goes nowhere. It's still there, but it isn't effective in our lives. But the clutch isn't our contribution to salvation. It's simply the point of engagement, the point where we say yes or no. I have another illustration at great expense and some little difficulty. A lamp. So the power is generated, about 50% of it, through wind power. The rest of it through smoky old electric generation. Tiny bit through solar panels. The electricity is generated elsewhere. It comes to us through the national grid, through a rather creaky old fuse box at the back of there. And it comes down into a socket down here somewhere, down here, along that wire, round the back, and up here to my very expensive illustration. And now I need a volunteer. Thank you, Daniel. That's really kind of you. Can you switch a switch? Yeah, it might be difficult to get out. That's all right. Just clamber over.
All right, sorry.
First test, see if you can get to the front. Excellent. Thank you very much, Daniel. So just down here, you'll find a switch. So the electricity is generated up there. Not yet. Goes through the national grid to the fuse box, to the switch. There's the switch. The switch is our faith, the connection. Until we switch that switch, nothing's going to happen to the light. Power's there. It's right there. But that ain't going to light up until we flick the switch. Flick the switch.
Yay!
Right, Daniel. Round of applause for Daniel. I'm trying to communicate how can it be that faith is both the gift of God. Well, he put the switch there. It's a gift. But we still have free will. We get to choose. Will we flick the switch or will we leave it unconnected so it has no impact on our lives? I chose the symbol, of course, because the good works are supposed to show God's love. So sometimes it might feel like it's more of a dimmer switch than an on-off switch. That's how it feels like in my life sometimes. It's that it's not like I've got faith or no faith. It's like I've got some connection with God. I've got a bit more connection with God. Or I've got a bit less connection with God. It's a bit more like a dimmer switch. But God's grace is constant. It's always there. Like the national grid with all the power, it's always there. It's unchanging. His call is unchanging. He wants us to connect with that grace. And the gift of faith is always available. There's always the switch waiting for us to turn it on. Yet we can still choose to resist, to swim away from the lifeguard, to depress the clutch, to switch off the lamp. God has given us free will. He will not override it. He invites, but he never coerces. This faith is for all. In John 3:16, which I mentioned last week, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever. Wherever you are, wherever you're at in your life, in the little video clip that we saw earlier, that man had no right to think that he could be forgiven. Maybe others are watching and thinking, "I have no right to be forgiven." But whoever believes can be saved. It is for all. It isn't reserved for the religious elite or the morally polished. It's for the weary, the broken, the doubting, and the desperate. Jesus said, "Come to me once you've figured it all out." No, he didn't. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But notice believes. This is in John 3:16. Some people try to reduce the whole gospel down to John 3:16. Fair enough, but dig deep if you're going to do that. That word believes is present continuous. So what that means is whoever believes and keeps on believing will be saved. That's faith, connecting God's grace with our lives. Whoever believes, keeps on believing, will be saved. So faith isn't a one-time moment. It's a daily posture of trust. Someone once asked me if I believe once saved, always saved. Here's what I know. I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I believe that if we trust and keep on trusting in Jesus, we will be saved. But John 3:16 is clear. We need to believe and keep on believing. And Hebrews is clear too. If we deliberately keep on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. So faith isn't passive. We're called to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It isn't that we're contributing some work into the process, but we have to choose to allow God to rescue us. Now, God knows the end from the beginning. So from his perspective, he knows who will be saved. I find it difficult to understand God being outside time. If you can cope with that, God bless you in it. But God knows the end from the beginning. So he knows who is going to be saved. Even before the creation of the world, he knew who was going to be saved. So he can say, once saved, always saved. Because he knows from the moment that you believe, and actually before that, that you will persevere to the end. He can say that. But I don't know anybody's heart. Just because somebody confesses with their mouth doesn't mean that they truly believed in their heart, even if they have confessed with their mouth. I don't know if they will truly repent or to continue in sin. There is no magic prayer that guarantees our salvation just by saying the words. That isn't how faith works. The medieval idea of buying indulgences to secure heaven is deeply unscriptural. We can't secure salvation through some form of words or paying something. Grace cannot be bought. Faith cannot be faked. So grace and the gift of saving faith are constantly there, but we must still choose daily to trust, to surrender, to take up our cross and follow him. Let's think about the nature of faith then. So faith is more than intellectual belief. It's practical trust. It's leaning our full weight on the character and promises of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. So faith isn't the absence of doubt, because it's an assurance of things we don't see. It isn't the absence of doubt. It's choosing to trust in the presence of uncertainty. And now, at no expense, I have another illustration. This chair. Now, you might look at that chair and do some complicated mechanical calculations to determine whether it's sufficiently strong to hold your weight. But mostly, we just go up to the chair and sit down on it. Oh, that's quite nice, actually. That's faith. The sitting down on the chair. Not looking at the chair and thinking, oh, that looks lovely. It would be great if I could sit on the chair. Some people sometimes say, I wish I had faith like you do. It's a choice. We have to choose. God gives us the faith. We have to choose what we're going to do with it. Will we sit, metaphorically, will we accept the grace that God's giving us? Put our trust in the chair. Wouldn't it have been disappointing if the chair had collapsed? Well, I don't know, maybe some of you were hoping it would. But faith is resting our weight on something beyond ourselves. Here's another powerful insight from Hebrews. Faith isn't the opposite of doubt. That's timidity. This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. It's timidity, shrinking back, the way I've put it, cowering in the corner, a faith that is so focused on ourselves rather than on God that we withdraw. Faith is bold. Faith steps forward into the opportunities. Like Stephanie writing a book about the way that God's grace reached out to her. Like our little church pioneering with nationally with Youth for Christ on Battle Plan. Like those who underwrote Cooking Together at Home when the funds were low, yet God provided. Like our decision to video record our testimonies for our 175th anniversary. Bold, stepping forward. Hebrews gives us that long list of heroes and heroines of faith. But notice, what was commended wasn't just belief. It was action. If you read through that list, it was what they did, how their faith was demonstrated in action. So faith responds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, Paul speaks deeply personally when he says, "By grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain." He's not just preaching theology here. He's testifying to God's grace. If you want to think about somebody implicated in murder, Paul has Saul standing there holding the coats whilst they're stoning Stephen. Here is a man who knows what it is to be forgiven, to be given a second chance. And he says, "Actually, that grace has made a difference in me." He goes on to say, "It's not been in vain. Actually, I work harder than everybody else," because he really appreciates the grace that God's given to him. So faith doesn't just say thank you, it says lead me. It doesn't just receive grace, it responds with surrender, obedience, and fruitfulness. And that response isn't vague or abstract, it's embodied, it's vocal, it's heartfelt. We saw that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This isn't a formula. I'm a chemist, I love formulas, but this isn't a formula. It's a picture of real faith. Faith that speaks, faith that believes, and faith that connects grace with a transformed life. We can't just say the words, we actually have to mean them. And we can't just believe once, we need to keep on believing. Faith isn't passive, it confesses, it repents, it follows. One of my favourite verses, Galatians 5 and verse 6. "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And we need to hold on to that, don't we? In all of the ups and downs and complications of life, the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is faith expressing itself through love. So faith is not just intellectual, it's practical, it's lived, it's visible. So maybe you're a seeker today, and if you've never placed your trust in Jesus before, today is your moment. You don't need perfect theology. You just need to surrender your heart. Faith is saying yes to the rescue. Will you say yes today? Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've been a believer for some time. Where is God inviting you to trust him more deeply? Perhaps think about what's going on in your life right now. Faith isn't just about how we begin. It's how will we continue. Where do you need to be less timid and more bold? I'm going to challenge you to renew your trust today. I'm going to start by saying this declaration together. It's all based in scripture, so you can trust me, it's fine, we'll say it together. Would you like to stand with me if you're able? Sometimes it just helps us to impact more powerfully when we engage by doing that. So would you say with me, "I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, you are alive. I trust you to save me, forgive me, and lead me. Your grace is constant. Your gift of faith is sure. I will not shrink back. I will run the race marked out for me. I will keep on believing. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and your grace towards me will not be in vain. Amen." Please take a seat for a moment. When Pete came in today, he said we've become Catholic, because I've got some candles here. But these are just an opportunity to respond in a symbolic way, and often that's helpful. So I'm inviting you to come and light a candle as a sign that you choose to be bold and not shrink back. Maybe there's an opportunity in this week to be bold. Maybe it's an encouragement to press in, press on with those things that you're being bold about. And this is my final illustration of faith. I have faith. I have grace provided to you freely. You need to apply the faith to the grace without setting fire to yourself. Faith given by God, but you do have to press the button. Come on, Jackie, set the trend. Bless you. Can I suggest you start at the back and work forwards so that we don't set each other alight? There you go. There you go. That's it. Well done. Well done. Thank you. Perhaps some others would like to come and express their faith by pressing the button. Thanks, Pete. Would you perhaps play quietly as people do that? Go on, don't be polite. Jackie wasn't polite, she just pressed in. Just be careful you don't catch fire. Gracious Father, thank you for rescuing us, not when we were strong, but when we were sinking. Thank you for the gift of faith, not as a reward for righteousness, but as a lifeline for the weary. Jesus, we come not with certainty, but with surrender. We trust you to do what we cannot. We choose to believe and keep on believing. Holy Spirit, help us to respond. Let our faith be more than words. Let it be lived, visible, and bold. Let it express itself through love. When we're tempted to drift, anchor us. When we're tempted to shrink back, embolden us. When we're tempted to fake it, convict us. May your grace not be in vain. May our lives testify to your mercy. And may our faith shine like lamps switched on, like wheels in motion, like hearts awakened to eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.